Hey everyone, welcome to the Minority Report. Before we get started on our usual podcastness, we want to actually take this moment to talk to the Wheeler family and express our heartfelt condolences for the loss of their son, Han. It's a tragedy that no one wants to go through. It's a hard one, but we just want to let you all know that we at Minority Report and the community are behind you 100%. Terrence?
As a parent myself, it's my hope and my prayers that no parent would ever have to bury a child. But like Isaiah said, we here at the Minority Report wish you all the best in your time of grief. And like he also said, this, our condolences and our hearts and our prayers are with you. Damon?
You know, this past Wednesday, having gained a warrior, and we lost a member of our family as a war machine in Horror's community, we wish to send our sincere, heartfelt condolences to the Wheeler family. May the beauty within this disappointment of this tragedy become more and more apparent to you and your family. Peace sometimes can only be birthed from pain and happiness from sadness. And we wish you all the best. And we're only a call or a message away. With that, we'll have a brief pause for the Wheeler family and Han. Thank you.
All right.
Welcome to the Minority Report with your hosts, Isaiah, Terrence, and Damon. And now, over to you, Isaiah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Minority Report. We are on episode 3 with brand new mics, brand new topics, Terrence being annoying. We can hear Damon. It's going to be a great day.
3. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't been banned from the internet by now. Thanks a lot, Terrence. It's all you and your connections. Thank you for keeping Minority Report a go.
I'm surprised you can count this high.
Oof. I can't. I just copy what Isaiah said.
It just depends on how many hamburgers are in front of them. Leave them alone. Jesus. Terrence, you're just abusive.
I'm abusive? I don't think so.
I'm truthful. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right, so, Damon, have you finished painting all of the crucible guard for Terrence yet? Because he's unable to do it.
Well, you know, after the insult, I am literally throwing them on my grill and lighting them ablaze. No, I have not. Terrence just got me the list that he wants me to paint like a week ago, even though I've been asking for him for like
a week. Yeah, it was not a week ago.
Okay, maybe a week and a half.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, Terrence, I swear before, I mean, like, I wish my life moved as fast as you say time goes. But to answer your question, Isaiah, before I was rudely interrupted, I am still painting Crucible Guard. I hate painting Crucible Guard for the record because they're stupid, and they have a lot of dips and grooves and black little cubby holes that you got to get a paintbrush into. But yeah, I am working on those and slipping in some mom pot stuff as much as I possibly can, you know.
Man, isn't Adepticon like a month away and Terrence still doesn't have a list ready? Come on, Terrence.
Get on him.
Yeah. I just looked back in those texts. That was February 13th there, brother man. That's 15 days ago.
Woo. Uh-oh.
First of all, nobody asked for receipts. Secondly, I mean, I don't even remember that day. I mean, for real, Terrence, like, sometimes you text me in the middle of the night and be like, I'm a genius. And I don't even know what you're talking about. It's just broken.
Oh, I'm scared. I am scared of that text. I mean, for painting wise, however, though, I still have like a half a scoring list and Xerxes 2. That's pretty much it. I think I can finish. I'm a slow painter, but I can do it.
So what scheme are you going with there, Isaiah? What's your score?
So right now we're gonna make it simple. Black, gold. And then for, like, the secondary units, we're going purple and gold because I'm royalty. So, like, I have to. I mean, they're secondary, but It's going raw royal.
Purple, I mean, and gold is beautiful.
I think at some point in time, Isaiah, when you moving from Signar to Scorn, that you should at least did a drive-by through Rhett. That's all I'm got to say.
You know what?
Drive-by for real.
I did play Rhett. I did play Rhett for like 4 months. I kind of enjoyed it. But after I played it, I was like, man, this is just a poor man Signar. Like, I got to go back.
Dude, you about to get all the hate mail in the world. Please note that the views of Isaiah Thomas are not that of this podcast.
Hey, so I
just had to put it out there. Now, this was Mark 2, but I still have to put it out there.
I got to ask, because I'm that guy. What makes Rhett poor man Signar? I just got to ask why.
Because they want to shoot as good as us. They want to be a Haley, which they can't do. They want to be another Haley, which they can't do. No one played Thyron, so, you know, them trying to have this melee beard that wants to be a striker too sucked at it. You know, there's like a nice little long list. I mean, Hyperion was cool with this one big, you know, crit consume everything gun, but you know what, my Stormwall and Hurricane just like, you're cute, go away. You know.
So, once again, I have to, this is going to be a rarity on this podcast, guys. I have to concur with Terrence when I say that Isaiah's views and opinions on Rhett is not shared by the rest of the cast of Minority Report.
I can respect this. Any Rhett players want to beat me down in a match, I'm ready. Let's do this.
You do realize that's a big call out there, Isaiah, right?
Hey, I am prepared to lose gracefully and beautifully, sir. All right? You underestimate my ways of just losing.
I mean, I never really heard nobody ever talk trash saying that they were going to lose. The whole point of talking trash was to say that you was going to beat whoever you was going to beat. Not say, I'm talking trash, but I know I'm going to lose, but I'm still going to keep talking.
I'm a special kind of snowflake, sir. Leave me alone, okay?
Well, actually, you're not. If you remember the classic movie, White Man Can't Jump, I think Woody Harrelson says you would rather look pretty and lose than look bad and win. So what I am hearing, that philosophy stands corrected with you, Isaiah.
Boom. Thank you, Damon. Thank you. At least someone's with me. All right. So
what about you, T? Are you painting anything, Terrence? Or am I painting all your stuff?
I am painting. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I do have some Mon Pok models on my painting table. They're not primed. I'm just cleaning off some of the flash. But I will have Mon Pok here soon, ready for Adepticon.
Oh, okay. Did you sign up for Mon Pok for Adepticon?
No, I did not.
So why are we... you know what? Never mind. Go ahead, Isaiah. Lead us into the promised land, please.
All right. So, battle reports. Damon, you had a game. I heard Terrence was just being lazy all week. I got a game in. I got my face crushed in by the Ellswick, as usual. But, Damon, why don't you take it away for us?
Well, I was able to try out a Mat 3 list, which I was able to stream not only on the Minority Report Facebook page, but also, well, I linked it to the Minority Report Facebook page, as well as my local game store, the Game Cave Facebook page. So I played a list that I didn't like putting it on at conception, but it actually played pretty well. I played it against Iona with all the Ravengers who can see through forests and all that other craziness that Circle can do right now. It was a great game. I played against my buddy Tyler Michelle. Love you, bae. Bye, bye. But anyway, it was a pretty good game. And he, some of the highlights is that freaking Wolf Rider champion is disgusting. I mean, that thing walked up, leaped behind an Archidon, and took it down to like 7 bosses. And I was like, I didn't see that coming.
They kind of have this rule called backstab, and it does a lot of damage.
Well, I wish someone would have shown me that on the card, because it almost killed the Archidon. Well, but in fairness, so the Archidon did turn around and lay waste to it after me healing it for a boss. Malakarm was able to walk up, kill about two Ravagers, sidestepped, well, actually killed the Ravager, sidestepped into Bree, killed Bree, sidestepped into Crawl, killed Crawl, and then Fate Walkered into the zone, engaging one of the Ravagers that was remaining, the only one that Makeda wasn't able to kill. That ended up being what cost me the game. I should have Fate Walked the opposite direction, engaging the only other two Ravagers on the table, but giving two Ravagers a charge in Molokarn was enough to kill them, which turned the tide. One thing is very awesome is Makeda against Ayana is such a nasty matchup for scoring. I mean, it's most definitely favored. Able to take out Getoretz with one of the Zoltid escorts and a Savage is a nasty, nasty thing. Neither one of us saw that coming. The escort has two attacks, I think, with Ignite, Battle Driven. I think he's swinging at power 16s. Has two initials, and then the Savage just went in and killed it with one shot after that was done. But I ended up losing. And honestly, it was that Molokarn, Fate Walker in the wrong direction that probably cost me. Then we ended up playing again, and my Rasheth exalted into, he actually had a list and he was trying to tech against me. My local man is having some trouble with this list of mine. And it was Balder 2, the Colossal, the Monkey, whatever the thing's called. And just long story, make it short, it was able, he really used a wall and a weird to box the Stone Monkey away from the Supreme Guardian. It wasn't enough. I was able to clear a hole. Supreme Guardian went in, did massive amount of damage, and then a unit of his Immortals went in to finish it off, and that pretty much conceded the game.
So, hold up. One quick question.
Sure.
Are you referring to the World Warden as the Stone Monkey?
Yeah, bro. You never heard that?
No, it's the Magic Monkey, and if it's talking about the Gargantuan, it's the World Wrath, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Jesus. No, do not disrespect my baby. Do not disrespect the World Wrath.
It is a Stone Monkey.
It's walking around on three. It has its legs and its arm. I mean, the thing looks like a baby chimpanzee. Like,
God, savageness, people.
And it's not even that good. I'm serious.
World Wrath is good. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Compared to the chicken? I'll wait as you argue.
Okay, hold on. Flying Chicken got made better, sir. As of recently, as of a CID, you better calm down, sir.
Well, once again, I just said I'll wait as you argue, and you argued in my favor. So the Stone Monkey is not as good as...
I mean, Speed 7 with Thunderhead rules, I mean, seems pretty good. Yeah, I'm just saying.
And reposition. Don't forget reposition. I mean,
I know. No. So good.
That makes sense. But yeah, that was my games. Note itself, the Rasheth Exalted list is a beast. If anyone's curious to see what I'm running, message me or do Minority Report. I'd be happy to share my list with you. But that thing is almost undefeated. I think I lost some in his first conceptions, but competitively I haven't lost with it yet. It's nasty. It's a beast. What it does for Exalted already is such a good list, right? It's a question list in its conception, but Rasheth makes it a question and answer. So it's a dual threat list. Makeda, that list, which is Savage heavy, I think it's four Savages, two Brutes, Molokarn, Sadesh with a Gladiator for a Gladiator, basically pod to be able to put out four rushes if I need to. It's still in development, so I'm not sure where I stand on that, but seeing it against Iona really gave me some hope, so hopefully I get a little bit more burn with that and be able to have some more battle reports for you guys in the future.
Okay.
What about you, Isaiah?
Well, I got one game in against the Elswick. Actually, it was today. I was testing my Xerxes 2 list for Adepticon, and he was playing a very interesting list. He played Gorshade 3 in what is the theme that doesn't get played anymore in Crix? Pirate theme.
Mechanical Thralls?
No. Pirates. Yeah, Ghost Fleet. There it goes. Yeah, so he played Gorshade 3, Ghost Fleet. So my issue was, I looked at the list and I'm like, well, I don't have any magical weapons. This is going to suck. So I'm going to have to abuse this because we played a Mirage. So I had an objective. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm taking magical weapons and I'm going to need to make these shots count. So it was mostly Xerxes 2 had a mammoth, which for my official list, it's a Hydra, but it's currently getting primed and painted at the moment. So I just kind of just proxied. Well, I didn't proxy. I just replaced it with a mammoth since they're the same points. So the game started off with me kind of moving up, taking some pot shots with the mammoth, and then kind of moving things into position because I'm like, well, I can't attack any of his black manes. I can't attack the one Agony, the newer Incorporate model that makes rough terrain around her. I can't remember what her name is. So it was mostly a giant big battle position because he knew he couldn't really crack my armor outside of his jacks. It ended up just being a giant stall game of me just slowly trying to kill things. But I ended up kind of getting jammed out when he perfectly, as always with Chuck Dice, took out my spirit before I can shake stationary. Like, he did enough damage where he took out spirit on, like, three of my war beasts and then pop feet so I couldn't shake stationary on my following turn. And I'm like, great. So even if I do, like, whip him to heal him, I can't really activate him. So, yeah. So I ended up losing on scenario. I wasn't too happy about it, but not really much I could do in that situation. Like, I tried to get some tramples in and move some stuff around with the big guy, but he wasn't giving me any good landing spots. So the game ended about turn four. But as always, me and Chuck always have good games. Definitely enjoyed it. And going to need a lot more reps with Scorn so I can actually feel decent with them once the Adepticon comes around. All right, so with that, let's talk about the big news that kind of got revealed on Wednesday, and that is Infernos.
So one thing, Isaiah, before we move on, I'd like to thank everybody that came out to the Cellar Comic and Games this past Saturday. I did a demo day up there and had about 2 to 4 people show up and do demos. So it's good to see that that we're slowly but surely getting a community here in Memphis. So thank you to everybody that showed up. I told them about the podcast, so we may have some new listeners coming along too.
Woohoo! All right. Well, new players and new listeners. Double dipping. We'll take it.
Double dipping.
All right, but back on Infernos. So did you guys catch the live stream?
I did not catch it live, but I did look at it later.
Damon?
I did listen to most of it live, but I was multitasking as far as working.
Of course. There's a lot of, buzz. We're not going to go too deep into it, guys, mostly because we're going to get all this official news on upcoming Wednesday when the actual CID will start. And I think it's going to go on for probably about 4 or 5 weeks because it's a new faction. I am very interested to see how the mechanics exactly work. The thought of these Infernal Masters having essence, which work exactly, well, not exactly, but having similarities between both Focus and Fury is very interesting. And I want to see how that plays out.
They essentially took the best parts of both, right? And gave it to and turned it into essence.
Yeah. So it definitely has a lot of interesting value, especially their ability to even summon more horrors, which are essentially their war beasts or war jacks, how well we will call them. They start with some and then they can summon more based on their essence pool. So I'm very interested to see how that goes about. And then the more important thing I think is going to be that we are going to test, but of course, once that gets started, is how current rules interact with the Infernals, because they're not Warcasts or Warlocks and they don't have War Beasts or War Jacks. So a lot of abilities that only affect them, such as like Nemo One's feet, and stuff like that, and also because of essence as well, certain abilities that strip Focus and Fury won't affect them. So currently right now they're immune, but once again, all this is speculation. Once we go through some testing, The more funny thing I kind of caught and mentioned to a few guys today is because the Masters aren't Warcast or Warlocks, that means if the Hyperion crits hits them, he can auto-consume them because they're not Warcast or Warlocks. I find that very interesting.
That is hilarious.
It's only if, though. I thought this only if they're small base.
For what? The crit consume?
Yes.
For some abilities, it only states small base. For some, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But because they're not Warcast Warlocks, certain abilities like Sevi 2 can technically take control of them. There's a lot of fun stuff. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to get rules to deny them that ability or whatever. But it's, you know, funny right now before we see the official rules and before things could change. But I'm definitely interested to see the finished product because I may have to kind of dip my fingers in Infernals. Even though I said I wasn't going to, after I read it, they kind of caught my interest a little bit. We'll see how broke I am come lock and load.
So, Isaiah, you know, just once again, we went from Sidnar to Scorn, not even doing a drive-by on Rhett. So I think the odds are heavily in the favors that you will have Infernos, just saying.
And let me be honest, I may have faction ADD. Like, I may stick to my Signar as my circle, but I do kind of dip my evil little fingers in a lot of different things. That sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I'll tell you this, Isaiah. After you buy all your Infernals, and it's 2 months down the road, and you're going to be sitting up there like, man, I cannot believe I bought all this stuff. Just let me know, and I'll buy it from you at 75% off retail.
Ooh, damn. 75?
75.
Wow. And they supposed to be friends, people.
That's a friend. If it wasn't a friend, I'd say 80.
Man, even Scarface wouldn't do me this dirty. Jesus. Like, he at least goes 60-40, but damn, you just taking all of it.
I mean, I'll do 60-40 if they paint it well, but if you start painting Infernals purple, I'm out.
It looks good on anything.
Exactly. We just had this conversation.
I don't want no purple Infernals. No.
Purple it is. Royalty. They're going to start showing off men off like, boom, I'm royalty. Oh, this is going to be great. I know what I'm doing now.
I can't wait to see him, Isaiah. Purple Infernos.
Oh, that's going to be great. Also, what the greatest thing to come out of Infernos, however, is that Travis has a theme force named after him.
Give it up to my boy, Travis.
That had me dying when I read the name of the theme force was Dark Legacy. I was dead. I was like,
that is amazing.
That was like, that is amazing. This
he's so hyped.
He was. He's been hyped since it got announced. Oh, this is gonna be great.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's a guy who deserves it more than Travis. Man, he does so much for the community for most of the major events. Most
well,
of
hell the yeah.
West. So, congrats, Travis, my man.
Yep. So now we gotta get him a shirt just to immortalize it all. This will be great.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's do that. Let's do that together. Let's chip in, and he doesn't have to know this. I'm pretty sure Travis doesn't listen to our podcast.
We, I know, right?
And put Minority Report on the back of it.
Oh, deal.
Fine print. Like,
all right.
Like, that's what I should do.
Okay. This will be put in production, and we're going to have this ready by lock and load. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't drop until then, so might
right,
as well.
Yeah, it doesn't drop until lock and load.
The next time we'll see Travis is probably Gen Con, maybe?
He'll be at Adepticon.
But we won't have the shirt.
We won't have a shirt by then. So, but like, I definitely wouldn't buy the time that it pre-releases at Lock and Load, though. I feel like that'd be the perfect time to have it.
Does Travis go to Lock and Load? Do you know?
I'll be surprised if he didn't. I'll find out.
Yeah, well, there we go. No matter what, he'll have the shirt by then. Let's make that happen.
I think I'm going to Lock and Load this year myself.
Where are you not going, T?
This year is a race.
All right, so on to something that I kind of want to talk to you guys about. So speaking of Signar, about I would say maybe right after ATC, I saw a very interesting post in the Facebook group, and it was a new player who said he kind of just got started in the game, and he was listening to podcasts about, you know, the game and everything else. And he was listening to a podcast where, I understand, he already bought into the Signar, and he would listen to some of the professional players, and they were telling that Signar has no place in the meta. It was a bad faction, and it's the reason why he decided to jump factions into something else. And this player felt that he felt kind of defeated because he bought into this faction because it was cool and it was interesting, and now he's being told by quote-unquote, you know, pro players that it's a bad faction. So he kind of feel like he made a bad purchase. I understand that the meta drives, you know, some things to be better than others. But I feel that we as players need to kind of watch how we say things, because we do have a lot of these new players we're trying to bring in. And I understand that, you know, all of us may not be happy about a motto, a theme, a faction. But I feel like there's a better way for us to go about expressing that. I mean, if you feel that Signar doesn't have the tools, I mean, just say that. But just to say that, you know, the faction's just bad and, you know, playing it is a bad idea, it makes newer players, or maybe even players who are returning to the game, it gives them a bad insight on things.
I think you got a good point, right? So, you know, one of the things I'm really careful on, especially now, we're trying to build a meta here in Memphis, is not being negative towards this game or any other game, or any particular factions, how they play. I think at the core of the game, it's probably in the best place it's ever been. I understand Signar players want the tools to deal with certain things, to be in certain places, right? But on the other hand, as a Minotaur player right now, and especially the two lists that I'm playing, there are nightmare matchups. For the most part, I don't want to see Signar. Most of my dudes cannot deal with the fact of getting walking across the board and getting shot at. I mean, I for myself, even last year when I went to Gen Con, I made it into the top eight, and I got to play against Anthony Gibbs, who was a great guy, by the way. But I got to play against that Sloan 5x5 list. It is absolutely one of the most well-tuned and well-built lists I've ever seen. And the crazy thing about it is I very rarely see any other Signar players play it. The only person I've really seen push it is Anthony, and he does great with that list. And it can be paired so easily with a bunch of other stuff. And I think at the end of the day, it's not about looking across the table at your opponent and saying, oh, I got this matchup, right? I easily have this matchup. I'm not going to Rickroll you, right? It's about playing a game of piece trading and you just finding a way to trade up as best you can. And I think Signar does that in spades.
Oh, yeah. And once again, it also doesn't just come down to just Signar. It's any faction. And as a TO, as all of us, you know, as community organizers, that we try to get things together, we're definitely trying to get demos, new players in, and everything else. We want to make sure that everyone understands that no matter which faction you pick, you always have a place in this meta. So you should never feel bad about the purchases you make, because no new player ever wants to be told that that theme that you bought into is bad. The purchase you made here is bad. No one ever wants to hear that. Sure, you can hear that there are better options, but just to say that it's just bad definitely brings down morale, in my opinion. I'm sorry, Damon. What were you about to say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my take on that is this. I live by a philosophy. It's not what you say, it's how you say it, right? And for you to say that a whole faction is trash is honestly close-minded for you. And I will say, Terrence, I would have to add Brett to that list of dedicated Signar players who continue to look at the faction in new lights and make the list better and competitive. And I mean, wouldn't you say Brett Simmons, however you pronounce it? So, you know, you have to work a little bit harder. It's not an auto win, or it's not even auto advantage. It's not an auto 60-40 win split anymore. But the fashion still has teeth, man. You have Craig, you have the Haleys. I mean, you have Siege 1 and 2. I mean, there's so many, and their themes are pretty good. You know, does it need some work? You know, I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't. But to tell a new player, one of my biggest issues I've always had when I was a PG, and now as we like to call ourselves the Revenant crew, because we still, most of us still do what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Help this game grow. There's nothing more damaging than a veteran player telling a new player that either A, they chose the wrong faction, B, they're playing with the wrong models, or C, they're not good, right? Those are all things that diminishes the confidence in the influence and the excitement of it. Now, if you say ask those questions like, hey, may I ask why you have that model in your list? Well, this, this, and this. Oh, well, I found, you know, once again, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. If you say that model's garbage and I don't understand why you're playing with it, or that fashion's stupid, or it's horrible in our today's meta, you're not going to win the game with it, and you haven't even started coaching these young people, and I say young people, young players, I mean, you're doing a disservice to us all as a gaming community. So shut up, get good, and help other people become better.
Yeah, that never helps. And once again, for everyone who's listening, you know, we're not trying to talk down to any of the players, you know, what they say on podcasts or anything like that. But I think it's just important to understand how many people listen to us whenever we, you know, we talk about what's good, what's bad, what's competitive, what's not competitive. You know, a lot of players listen to that. And right now, you know, with Mark III being in a great position, a lot of players are coming back. A lot of new players are taking interest. And I think it's important for us to always know that everyone is listening, watching, and wanting to take in, you know, our thoughts on the meta, because they look to us as people who may play in these competitive events. You know, what do we see? What do we think of this? How do we play into this? You know, how to answer a question such as, you know, what's right now being talked about a lot is Lord of the Feast. You know, how you deal with this model. Everyone says he's broken, he's busted, he should not exist. You know, we're hearing it all. And don't get me wrong, you know, there might be some truth to the statement where something is a little strong, but you don't have to say, you know, there's no answers, that there's no way of playing against it, it's horrible. We can always find a way to make an answer. And that's something that back in the day when everyone used to ask for nerf from PP, you know, when's our next, you know, nerf back coming? Well, after a while, you know, we kind of got told that they're not going to give us these consistent model updates. You know, they want us as players, community, to figure out, like, don't play the same thing all the time. Play something different. You may find an answer in that that may work out better. So I think it comes to us as, how can I say this? Players who are looked up to, or players who people think have the best thoughts, is to give a better explanation on what works and what doesn't work.
Real quick, Isaiah, one thing I do want to say, you said as far as like what people on podcast says, listen, that to me, that's a totally different avenue of information, right? Those people are making conscious decisions to listen to us who have our opinion and curious about our opinion. That's totally different than a veteran, a seasoned player in a store or at a local event sharing those opinions in person. Does that make sense? Because that's not sought after in a critical manner. Like, we're not talking about any one person as we're talking. We're talking very generally. But when you make that general specific, such as, hey, new player, that fashion sucks that you chose, that's totally different. But if they're going online seeking us out, Minority Report, Chain Attack, Blightbringer, so forth and so on, they are wanting our opinion. So, you know, by no means are you know, just amazing. The record straight. No means are any of us are saying anything about our fellow podcasters that are opinions.
Oh no!
Should be
oh no!
Right? Yeah.
And yeah, I completely agree. My only thought process is that, you know, as we are on these podcasts with everyone listening to us, it's just our way of presenting the information. And that's the only thing I like to just put out there. I'm by no means saying no one can speak their minds, because yes, I want everyone to speak their minds. It's just that when we talk about, you know, the things that we're unhappy about, I don't want to just trash talk it, because I want to make sure that everyone who listens to each of these podcasts are getting great information out of it and don't feel defeated when they listen to it. Because when I read that post that someone made, I, as a TO, was feeling a bit sympathetic to that person, because no one should ever feel like that after this new podcast to get, you know, quality information out of.
You know, one of the crazy things about this game, and, you know, you hear these statements about, well, Signar is, may not be in a good place, or whatever people different opinions about, right? The one truth about this game that any player can take away is the game is very cyclical, right? We, just because one faction is at the top right now, that doesn't mean that they're going to stay there. I mean, let's take a perfect example. Like this time last year, everybody was talking about Kriegs, right? No one is even, you know, how strong Kriegs was, how their things were just something that most people couldn't deal with. This, that, the other thing. But now, it's all about Circle and about Scorn, right? So the game is, so Signar is going to, their time is coming back again, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just because they're not at the top doesn't mean that they're unplayable, right? I mean, just because you're not, and actually, to be honest with everybody here, right? And you guys probably know this just as well as I do. It's actually easier to play this game if your faction is not at the top.
I agree.
When your faction is not at the top, that means that people are not specifically teching for you. However, you can then tech for them.
I completely agree with that. And that's why I kind of like playing the underdogs.
And that's why you're switching to Scorn. Makes complete sense.
I was going to say that.
Hey. I am only playing Scorn because I was requested to play Scorn. And they want me to play casters that people don't usually see on the table as often. So I took it for a challenge. And I'm like, all right, well, I have Jalam and Xerxes 2 that I like, and I don't really see many people talk about them. Guess what I'm playing?
Well, you got what? Xerxes 2, the, what do they call that thing? The Kaiju list, and then Jalam, I agree. No one plays Jalam, and I think he's probably easily one of. He's a very good caster.
I'm waiting for that. No,
I wasn't going to say one of the best. I wasn't going to.
Oh.
Good caster who can play in multiple themes, man, and playing them very well.
So, I am not playing the Xerxes 2 Kaiju list because I don't own any of the battle engines.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Terrence has like four that you can borrow.
Nope, I refuse. I'm not buying any of the battle engines. I want to play with Stompy Elephants because I love the elephants.
Well, stomp on, Isaiah, stomp on.
All right, well, with that, we actually got a community question that was asked of us from Josh. What do you look for as a good or enjoyable opponent, and what kind of opponent do you strive to be? Well, you know what? I enjoy opponents that can give me a great challenge, but at the same time are fun to engage with during a game, where we can just laugh about things that happen, enjoy ourselves, and make the match memorable. My favorite opponent used to be someone I played back actually in Mark 1. His name was Justin, but we called him Hollywood. And we would just have the fun matches of a lifetime. We would just talk trash throughout the entire game, but we played clean games. We always go for these crazy assassinations on each other, leaving each other at one hit point. And we would just talk and laugh about the game for weeks on end. And we enjoyed it. And you know what? That was something that I definitely loved. He was a great opponent. He knew the game back of his hand, playing Kador at the time. I played Signar, and we just had some of the best games I've ever had. Terrence?
My favorite type of opponents are opponents that let me win. And I really appreciate that when they do that.
Look at this. He's just looking for hand-me-downs. Like,
no, but seriously, right? Along the same lines, right, Isaiah, I just want to come to the agreement, right? Not
Stop. Did you just yawn? Really?
No.
You
yawn?
Yawn. Old man. Isaiah,
I did not that a yawn?
I heard. Okay, continue.
Old I think man. Your mic is messing up, old man. No, but no, the same thing, right? That's a good player, you know, that's having a good time. Somebody that realized at the end of the game, we're both doing our best, right? But at the end of the day, it's a game, right? Nobody's losing their life. Nobody's losing their house, their cars, their kids. This game doesn't have anything high at stake, right? There's no high stakes game here. Just somebody that's enjoyable, that you can talk with, that you're just enjoying to play. One of the things, like I mentioned last week, when I made it to the LVO, I had some of the best games I ever played, like playing with some of those guys out there. It was challenging games. They were good, clean games. And hopefully everybody came away. I know I did, came away with the idea that I had a great time and loved every minute of it.
For me, unlike Terrence, I do not want opponents that want to take a nap while playing the game. This is a good question and a challenging question because, you know, Terrence and I have spoken about this a lot of times because Terrence always ends up being that guy who was a little bit too nice and cost him a victory, right? It was like, well, I didn't know, man. I just let him do it. Like, Terrence, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. So I guess, you know, clean, precise games is most definitely it. But I don't think that's what Josh was asking. I think what he was asking was, what do I get the most enjoyment out of? And that's people who are knowledgeable of the game or has a hunger for knowledge of the game. I don't mind playing against newer people if they're willing, if they want to learn. And people who just like, I mean, I tell you, those who don't take it too serious, I agree with Terrence on that, but also have a competitive edge who are playing to win. And what kind of opponent I try to be is exactly that, is I try to give what I want, which is I'm not really a stickler, but I do want the game to be precise. I don't have a problem with, you know, what I would call minor tape bats. Like if you ran a unit and you forgot one dude was blending in, especially like with trolls, because all trolls look alike, right? I don't mind you running the other guy to put him back in formation most of the time. However, at the end of the day, right, we're playing this game competitively. I'm going to get what I get. I played against people who are very, very, very specific. I will be kind to say that, and hold you to every and any move that you make. So I play accordingly. Don't ask for something you're not willing to give. And that's what I would tell anyone who plays this game. You know, treat your opponent like you want to be treated. And it makes for a fun game. And I'll stop there, but it's a great question by my buddy Josh out of Birmingham, man, which is a pretty good meta. And I know Josh himself, he travels up and supports our events up here in Nashville. So I appreciate him taking the time to email us those questions. And please, people, feel free to keep shooting these over to us. We'll like to be able to address more than just one question, you know? Isaiah?
All right. But, I definitely agree. You know, play the game how you want to be treated. Play a good game. Your opponent will give you a good game. The biggest thing about this game, guys, is to always have fun. Enjoy yourselves. Make it memorable. So, local community stuff. I know Terrence was talking about the demo event he had. Sounded like it went well. He got a few new possible players over there. Damon, anything new in your community?
Yeah, we're having a rush. What is it called? Good gracious, man. I'm sorry. What's it? Crush Hour. Crush Hour. That's what Mom Pop tournaments are called. We're having a Crush Hour in March. I want to say it is the third weekend. I'm trying to pull it up, multitask, which I'm not great at, so forgive me. Then there's a local tournament in Cookeville, I believe, the first Saturday of April. And then Birmingham is actually having a tournament, I want to say April the 27th, if I'm not mistaken. So we have a couple of things going on here, locally with it. Within 2 or 3 hours of our location. And I think our next steamroller in Nashville at the Game Cave is actually going to be the second weekend of April. And if you notice, there wasn't a whole lot of confidence in that answer, but those are what's coming up soon.
Okay. for us, there hasn't been too much on news front. I am working on the outlines for our upcoming German League, and then working on a date for our Steamroller event coming in April. I am happy to announce we did have two new players coming down for demos on our kind of Saturday open day that we had this past Saturday. So I am happy to see new faces come into our community, and hopefully they'll stick around and be permanent rotation as part of our group, because, you know, we always want to increase our community and make sure everyone's enjoying themselves, having a fun time, no matter, you know, what multiple games you play. So, any last comments you guys want to make?
Nothing really here, Isaiah. I know here in Memphis, so starting this coming up Tuesday, which will be the first Tuesday of March, we're going to start a regular War Machine and Horse Night at the Cellar Tabletop and Comics. If you know anybody in the area, or you're listening to this and you're in the area, feel free to come out. We'll start a regular War Machine and Horse Night on Tuesdays.
All right, Damon.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome, Terrence. But once you're done traveling and you and the wife get some time together, you know, I'll be back down there crashing in your guest bedroom to get some games in with you, and hopefully go up to the store and show the game off a little bit with you. For me, man, like, you know, once again, I always I'm humbled. I think we're all are humbled by the support that our friends and in our community is showing us here at the Minority Report. You know, we got a lot of feedback, and hopefully you see our dedication and our commitment to making this a great podcast. So continue to please support us by giving us your feedback, you know, sending us questions and content that you want us to cover.
Thanks. All right. Well, with that, guys, we call it another successful episode, and hopefully you guys will be back for many more. Have a great night.
Yep. Have a good night, everybody.
This has been an episode of the Minority Report. Until next time, see you at the final table.